For the rest of the program, we want to focus on the floods in large parts of the Midwest, Iowa, Missouri, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana. If your neighborhood, your farm has been flooded, we want to hear your story. The phone number is 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation on our blog and share your story at npr.org/blogofthenation. For those not living this story, the Mississippi River has been swelling all week, fueled by storm-fed tributaries, the Iowa River, the Missouri River, and the South Skunk River, to name just a few. Levees designed to contain floodwaters failed in many places and may fail in many more. Houses, farms, crops, in some cases towns, are underwater, as Karen Schrock knows all too well. She and her husband farm 800 acres just south of the place where the Iowa River flows into the Mississippi, and Karen Schrock joins us today by phone. Thanks very much for your time.
You're welcome.
And what does your farm look like today?
Of the 800 acres that we farm, 650 are in the first section, just south of Oakville, that is flooded. We were able to go out to the Big Ditch Bridge, and that's where the flood has come up to, and we farm just north of that bridge, so we can see that our farm is underwater. One of our neighbors' houses is a single-story dwelling right there, and it's covered.
And when you say underwater, it's not just a couple of inches of water.
No, we're talking a windmill is about 20 feet high, and just a few blades are sticking out.
And what do you raise on your farm?
We raise seed corn and soybeans.
And how has this affected your crops?
It's, you know, the seed corn and the soybeans were just maybe a foot high, so they're basically under 15 feet of water. We won't have a crop on 650 acres, but we farm 150 that has not been flooded yet. And we're praying and fighting.
And have you had help?
Oh, have we had help? People that I met last week and sandbagged with came from Oklahoma, Iowa, other parts of Iowa, Illinois, Indiana. My son said he met someone that lives close to London.
I'm assuming he means England.
I assume that, too. That's just what he told me this morning.
Could have been Ontario.
Pardon?
Could have been Canada and Ontario. But
oh, that could be, too. But people came from a long ways, you know. Church families, the whole community just came together. Everybody fought for what was their home, grounds, buildings, investments, years of investments. People ready to retire are now without a home, without land, and they're displaced, and it is really devastating to see you know, what people are experiencing. We are hurting. Our house is high and dry.
Well, that's a stroke of good luck.
We're just in it with so many people that we know that we can rely on each other and rely on the Lord and our faith in God to see us through.
And I have to say, you sound exhausted.
I'm tired, but I'm experiencing a peace and a calm that I know that God's promises will see me through. And I just want people to stop, be still, and know who God is. Because he's big and he has promised so much for us. He gave his son, and why wouldn't we trust him, and why won't we praise him through this? Everybody I've talked to in their pain is saying they are trusting God.
Karen Schrock, good luck to you.
God's blessings to you.
Karen Schrock farms with her husband on an 800-acre farm, much of it now underwater in southeast Iowa. Let's see if we can get some callers on the line, and we'll start with Sarah. Sarah's with us from Lake Geneva in Wisconsin.
Hi. We have had so many road closures. Last weekend, there was 10 pages of road closures out here. Every major roadway seemed to be going north or going, for me, going east. For some people, going west was just shut down. Almost, I had a hard time getting around, just getting past the Fox River, getting over, because it just, every major roadway around us was just shut down. And it's just, luckily, some of it's going down now, but it's still, you just don't know which way you can go, and people aren't coming up, and people aren't coming down.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
No. We had some flooding last year, last August, and it was not to the extent that it is like right now. We still have, the river is still so high, and they're calling for rain this weekend, and the river is still so high, it's right at the roadway. If we get any more of that rain, it looks like it could just flood right over again. I've lived in Illinois and Wisconsin my whole life, and I don't remember ever seeing water like this.
And, I guess you feel a little isolated and a little cut off.
Absolutely. Lake Geneva is a resort town, and people aren't coming up because they're probably afraid they're going to make it home. And people can't come down, and people can't go north. And it is, you do feel isolated. There's no major cities, any major city you just can't get to. It is. You're just kind of together.
Sarah, good luck.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Again, if you're in the middle of this story, give us a call. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Let's go next to Will. And Will's with us from Higgins Lake in Michigan.
Yes. How you doing? I just love your program. I listen to it all the time.
Thank you.
I just wanted to tell you that I drove on the 8th of June, that's Sunday, down south on 27, which kind of runs almost parallel to 75. From Mount Pleasant, which is about north central Michigan, down south to Lansing. And anyway, it was just horrendous with their 80 mile an hour winds and that. And the weather people did not report it properly. So what I'm trying to tell you is, so most people pulled over into the berms and to the overpasses. We didn't know that. We couldn't get any station to report anything. When they did, I'm newer to the area. They were sort of ticking off all these counties, and I had a map out trying to figure out where is this at. And I looked over to the north side of the road. There was evidence of a tornado cut a 300-foot swath. There's small birch trees. It took out 24 birch trees. And then we passed an RV. There's six people died in this storm. And we were driving through it because my buddy driving had a pickup truck, and we just didn't want to quit. We saw an RV that flipped over, and a woman had got out and had laid down in the road. Kind of, they said later on, I got some more information on. She was arguing with her husband. He said, "Don't do that." And so she got between the berm and the RV, and the RV flipped over and killed her.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was horrendous. But what I'm calling about is just, you think in 2008 you're going to get the warnings, but they knew the storm was there, but these people were asleep. It was a Sunday. I don't know what they were doing, because the weather comes out of Detroit, which is southeast from where we were, and you're talking about a major highway now. 120, the new 27, there's a major thoroughfare, mm-hmm. four-lane highway.
Yeah.
Nothing. 75, same thing.
Will, I'm glad you made it, and as we could hear in the background, sounds like your kids are fine, too.
Oh, no, that's a talking parrot.
Oh, that's a talking, well, I'm glad the parrot made it.
Hey, the parrot will be here long after I am. I had to write a trust fund for him.
Thanks very much, Will.
See ya.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to Karen. Karen's with us from Waterloo in Iowa.
Hi. Thanks for taking the call, Neil. It's just been, my comment is, I work for a company that puts me in from town to town, day to day. And we had Parkersburg and New Hartford go through the F5 tornado the Sunday before Memorial Day. And then they're flooded on top of it. I've got customers that have had stuff pulled out of their basements. But what's really hard is seeing the people who I've worked around for 5 years just essentially lose everything in one instance, move maybe even to New Hartford, and then get flooded on top of it. Mm. There's a resilience there in the spirit that is just unmatchable by anything I'm familiar with, but it's just been so hard to go from place to place. I live in Waterloo. Cedar Falls is just to the north of us, and my fiance has had two brothers, one whose home was pretty much going to have to be gutted. He lives in an area called North Cedar. His nephew's in the same straits. His niece, her house is essentially a total loss. Another brother had a family room. I've got a niece who lives in Evansdale whose house, they watched the shed float down the road. And I guess what I would have to say through all of it is I've seen people sandbag. I went down at 5:30 one morning to sandbag, fill sandbags at the Waterloo Street Department. And people that don't have any connection with their home may not be at risk, but they're there.
When you say you were dealing with your customers, what business are you in, Karen?
I read meters, electric and gas meters, for the local power company.
So you see a lot of people's houses.
Yeah, and it's just been really hard. My yesterday's route in one of the affected areas from the tornado was less than half of what I normally walk in a day. And the best I can do is just try and make sure that those individuals know that they're supported and cared for. And we've gotten, you know, we've had a lot of people. My daughter-in-law works at, or did work at, the country club north of Parkersburg, and she engineered a donation drive, and we started getting toothbrushes and stuff over to Applington right after the tornado. But I think that we all thought the winter was bad, and the spring hit, and now I see the same people that I just have. They're the people that
they're amazing how people come together and help each other out. It really is amazing.
Well, yeah. They're the same people that ask me in the wintertime if I'm warm enough when I'm walking through their yards in the snow.
Yeah.
And now they don't have a house. And I don't even know where they are to tell them I'm thinking of them.
Well, you're on the radio, and they can hear it, Karen. Thanks very much.
Thanks.
We're talking about, what's happening to people in the midst of the floods of 08 in the Midwest. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get Clay on the line. Clay with us from Curryville in Missouri.
Yeah, I've been sandbagging down in a town called Clarksville, Missouri, just about an hour and a half north of St. Louis. And there's people coming around from all areas of states and everything. More people from out of the town than inside, and lots of sandbagging operations. They've got prisoners working from the local prisons, and Boy Scout troops, families, church groups.
Restores your faith in humanity, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you going to go back on the lines and fill more bags?
Yeah, I think so.
Hang in there, Clay.
Yeah.
Bye. Let's see if we can get Rachel on the line. And Rachel's calling us from Iowa City. Rachel, you there?
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
All right. More to the point, how's it going with you?
Well, I'm actually just high and dry. That's what's been really interesting about this flood is that it's been very localized, the damage has been. Everyone's comparing it to the flood of 1993. And during that flood, it was really just torrential rains. And so it affected everybody. Whereas now it's basically anything that's along the river. So there are places where you wouldn't even know that anything is wrong, really.
It's not as widespread as it was, 15, 16 years ago?
Yeah, no, it's the damage is very, very localized, actually. And then I just have another comment that nobody seems to be talking about kind of this string of severe weather we've had over the winter and then now this as related to global warming in any way.
Well, sometimes it's hard to tell when individual events like that, but, it does make you think, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Rachel, thanks very much, and I hope you stay high and dry.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
You too.
Let's see, we get one last call in, and this is Jim. Jim with us from Princeton in Wisconsin. Jim, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I was just calling. I live in the Princeton area, in Princeton, Wisconsin. It's right on the Fox River. The downtown's pretty much being overrun with the river. They've been sandbagged for the last week. Was supposed to crest it yesterday, but it's actually still rising. I'm also a Hurricane Katrina survivor. I relocated back to Wisconsin, my home state, in 05 after losing everything in Bay St. Louis, Mississippi. A little bit different situation, but, you know, trying to pass on and help all I can with dealing with all these floodwaters. Ours were more sudden, you know.
In New Orleans, yeah. You must feel a little snake bit, though.
I'm so sorry?
You must feel a little snake bit, bad luck following you around.
I've been getting that a lot from family and friends and clients. I actually travel all over the country. I've been in the whole Iowa and Minnesota region here with my work, and I've been across and through, and I've been delayed by highway closures the last few weeks since all the rains hit. And yeah, most of them that know my story, you know, that after I relocated back to Wisconsin, they're like, did you bring all this with you? But yeah, I mean, there's certain precautions you got to take, and then, you know, it is devastating. I left Mississippi with the clothes on my back, and that was it, you know, so. It's hard to rebuild, but can be done in 3 years. You know, I'm gainfully employed again, and it takes some time. Just got to hang in there. You know, there's a lot of resolve where we are. It does bring people together. You know, there's a lot of good things happening out there.
All right, Jim, good luck to you.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. An email from Kate in Iowa City. I live in Iowa City, work in Cedar Rapids. Although my home was safe from the floods of this past week, my office in downtown CR was completely flooded. Since my home was untouched, I spent a number of days last week sandbagging in town trying to fortify university buildings, albeit unsuccessfully, from the rising waters and moving books from the basement of the university library. What struck me most, aside from rushing waters, was the profound sense of community that I've seen these past few days. Everyone from college and high school students, townspeople, university employees, and retired people came together to help our town and our university. Although the work was strenuous, hot, and dirty, people persevered with a sense of determination and good humor. I felt very proud to be part of this community and to have such wonderful neighbors. More on the floods of 08 coming up later today on All Things Considered. Stay tuned for that. I'm Neil Conan. It's the Talk of the Nation from NPR News in Washington.